Notice in Genesis 21:1, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. God always keeps his promise. We talked about this last. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. He always does. I told you last week, you can take it to the bank. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. By the way, that's the only child she bore, too. It's the only son, that's the only child she ever bore. For Sarah, and she lived to be 127 years old. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time. See, there's always a certain time that God wants for your life. We got to make sure we don't get ahead of God. Of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Means laughing. They laughed about having a child. And Abraham circumcised his son, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. By the way, eight's a new beginning. Eight people in the ark had a new beginning. It's a type of salvation. And not physical circumcision gets you to heaven, but circumcision of the heart, you see. Okay. Get out of Romans, Rich. Okay. Look at Romans. Look at Romans. Look at, I love that book of Romans. When we get back, we're going to have a lot of fun teaching that book of Romans. Amen. Verse 5 of Genesis 21, we'll get back to Abraham. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God had made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. By the way, he wasn't no laughing matter, though. He was the real thing from God. Amen? And she said, who would have said that unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Yeah, she was 90, and Abraham was 100 years old. Can you imagine a couple, 90 and 100? 100 with Abraham, 90 with Sarah, and they're having their first child together. Whew. Wow. Think about it. I'm going to talk to you about it today. Heavenly Father, thank you for the precious word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd help me be a blessing, that this is what you put in my heart. I believe I'm doing what you want me to preach. Help me to be a blessing. Please, Father, anoint me to do the work of God. Oh, God, help me to be an encouragement to the people of God. And Lord, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you as Savior, pray that today they trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today I want us to look at one of the great patriarchs of Israel, Isaac. Although his life is much different in many ways than his father Abraham and his son Jacob, he's always mentioned with them. Yeah, he is shown equal honor with Abraham and Jacob. Because when you talk about, and even when Eddie's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's always mentioned, isn't he? When you talk about the patriarchs, he's always mentioned. He always has the same honor with his father and his son. Isaac, by the way, lived longer than the three of them. Abraham only lived to be 175 years old. Genesis 25:7, if you're taking notes. Jacob lived to be 147 years old. Genesis 47:28. But Isaac lived to be 180 years old. Genesis 35, verse 28 and 29. So, and by the way, if you want to even take it farther, his half-brother Ishmael only lived to be 137. So he had a longer lifespan, although, Brother Coolidge, not, you know, when you think about Isaac, you don't really get excited. Kind of a calm, quiet guy, and, you know, not a whole lot happens with Isaac. I mean, when you get with Jacob, now you got things happening. You got Abraham, you got things happening. But Isaac, yeah, he dug wells. We'll get into that later. He was Isaac's known for being a real gentle guy and obedient and a well digger. Amen? And come on, say amen. His life was far less exciting than Abraham and Jacob's. It was far less controversial than his father and his son. And Isaac, he traveled least of the three patriarchs. He had fewer extraordinary experiences than the three. When to sum up Isaac's life, he was quiet, he was gentle, and he was less a man of action than he was of thought. He thought more than he did. How many are with me? And slow of action. Now, let's look at some things about his life. And I guess I'm going to preach and teach this morning. I just felt like teaching you and preaching at the same time. Amen? And I just want you to learn and understand the Word of God. Now, Brother Johnny's taking the Pentateuch over to Massillon Baptist College, and he's going to be excited because preacher's preaching where he's studying. And the other day in Romans, I mentioned something about this, and he said, boy, that's exciting because I'm getting it there and I'm getting it here, and kind of reinforces it. And that's great. Let's look. I wrote, I think, seven or eight things down. And let me give you a few thoughts about Isaac. I think he's passed over. Not much is written about Isaac. You only have a few chapters, really, of his life. You pick him up there in 21, and by around 28, 29, he's gone. you don't really, although he's mentioned many times in the Bible, in the New Testament also, but people can read the Bible and they kind of pass over this special. He was really a special person. Let's look at him. Let's look at some special things about him. Number one, first, Isaac was a miracle birth. If you don't think Isaac wasn't a miracle, having a baby at 100 years old and 90 years old after her time, and only he was a miracle birth. You see, he was a type. He was a symbol of a miracle birth to come, which was Christ, the Savior. Amen? Isaac was not the Savior. He was not the Christ, but he was a figure of a type of him. How many understand what Peter's saying? So just like as Isaac had a miracle birth, the Savior to come had a miracle birth. Although the miracle birth of Jesus, he had no mother. As far as no blood of the mother. His blood all came from the Father, and he had no natural mother. I mean, as far as he was all God, what I'm trying to say. Amen? Now, notice... number two, Isaac, he was a promised child. He was a promised child. God promised Abraham years before he came, over 20 years before he came. He said, I'm going to give you a child. I'm going to give you a child. He was just like Jesus because Jesus was a promised sacrifice. Remember in Isaiah 7:14 says, a child shall be born? How many are with me? Galatians 4:4, in fullness of time, God sent forth his son. I'm going to tell you right now, he was a promised child. And by the way, God kept reminding Abraham of that. He was a promised child. He was promised by God, just like Jesus was promised. His name Isaac, number three. His name Isaac means one laughs. look what his mother said, even in Genesis 21:6. Remember when God first told Abraham and them earlier in the scriptures? He said, you're going to have a baby. And he laughed and Sarah laughed. And God said, hey, Sarah's laughing. She said, no, we're not laughing. You can't fool God. Amen? And look at Sarah said. She knew she laughed and he did too. And Abraham did too. Like, come on, God. You're just joking with us. Sarah said, God had made me to laugh. So that all that hear will laugh with me. She says, man, I can't believe it. This is amazing. I laughed at God, yet he still did it. Of course, later it says, is there anything too hard for God? And of course, there is not anything too hard for God. Nothing's a laughing matter for God. God can do anything. Young people, there'll be times in your life you'll say, can that really be possible? Can that really happen in my life? Can we really achieve that? Yes. God can do all things. Nothing's impossible for God. Amen? And he preached about how big God was Friday night. We have a huge God. And our God can... Listen, nothing outscales our God. He's far above anything that we can put before him. His name was Isaac, which means laughs. But after, number four, after waiting 10 years, Abraham and Sarah tried to help God with his promise. They had Ishmael. Look at Genesis 16:16. Look at Genesis 16:16. Well, look at 16:1 first. Look at 16:1. Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. She had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Sarah said to Abraham, "Behold, now the Lord has restrained me." No, he didn't restrain her. It just wasn't set time yet. A lot of times we blame God. Listen, just wait on God. If he tells you something, he'll do it. He'll bring it to pass. Trouble is, we're just an instant society. We like instant cocoa, instant this, instant that. We don't want to wait for nothing. We have to drive through at the McDonald's. And if we can't get through it real quick, we leave there. We got instant banking. I mean, we want it now. Kind of like the guy that prayed, "Lord, give me patience and hurry up. I can't wait." We need to learn to wait on God. We need to learn to wait for God to do what He wants us to do. I see so many people's lives get torn up and really go down because they get ahead of God. They say, "Oh, I'm going to do this. This is what God..." No, look up here. When God wants something, He will make it happen. When God wants something, He will open the door. You don't have to kick a door down for God. God will open the door. That's the truth. I'll just use me as an illustration, but your life's different. Because you're called to preach. But I remember Dr. John Brooke talking when I was a student in Bible college. I just listened to his tape. And he said, "You don't have to worry. How do you get into this ministry? He said, "You just keep studying and preparing. Next thing you know, people will be calling you. And next thing you know, the church will be calling you and stuff like that." And sure enough, boy, you know, and God called me to start a church, and God called me here. And you know, I never had to do nothing, Eddie. The Lord took care of it all. Now, I don't know what's in your life, but I'm going to tell you something. Whatever God wants in your life, you wait on God, He'll open the door. Trouble is, we try to open doors for God. Can I tell you something? God don't need you to open any doors. And by the way, the doors you try to open, you're opening by yourself in the flesh. And when you try to open them by the flesh, you'll suffer heartache in the future. And go back to Genesis 16 now. She said, "Hey, we haven't had a baby. It's been 10 years. God's not going to keep His promise. I guess we'll help Him." And so she took her Egyptian Hagar, and he went in there, and he had a baby called Ishmael. Look at Genesis 16:16. Don't get ahead of God. How many hear me? Say that with me. Don't get ahead of God. Say this: wait for God to open the door. Revelation says no door is open without Him, and no one can shut it with Him. If God wants a door open, nobody can shut it. If God wants it closed, nobody can open it. Many times we beat our head against the wall. Listen, just be content with what God's given you. By the way, God only gives us what we can take. Hello? And so we need to understand the will of God. Really. And Abraham, look at all the heartache that Abraham took on because of this one bad judgment. Look at Genesis 16:16. Abraham was fourscore years ago. Our fathers were... How many are you with me? Fourscore means a score is 20. So four is 80. Four times 20 is 80. Amen? So Abraham was 86 years old. When Abraham was fourscore and 6 years old, Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. Abraham was 86 years old when Ishmael was born from Hagar. Are you with me? Now notice, chapter 17, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, If you have 99 minus 86, how many years is that? 13, and 13 is a bad number in the Bible. Abraham was 99 years old. He appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Watch. Walk before me and be thou perfect. In other words, get your act together, man. For 13 years, I believe this, Brother Coolidge, because of that disobedience and lack of faith, because it was two things, lack of faith that God would deliver and disobedience going against God's word. For 13 years, Miss Karen, I believe, from 86 to 90, for 13 years, God didn't speak to Abraham, according to Scripture. Hello? Because it's 13 years, I really believe that's what I believe what I'm teaching is true. His 13 is a bad number. Are you with me? Now notice, in Genesis 17:1, because their disobedience and lack of faith, God doesn't speak to Abraham for 13 years. Isaac is a constant reminder to all of us. Never doubt the promises of God. Don't doubt your eternal security. Don't doubt about Him coming back. Brother Tommy, I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but one thing I do know, He's coming back. Well, preacher, you thought He might come back. I thought He might, but you know what? He didn't, but he you know what? When the Apostle Paul preached, Miss D, Miss Arlene, when the Apostle Paul thought Jesus would come back in his lifetime. I've been preaching for 30-some years now, Brother Carey, and every year I keep preaching. I think He's going to come back now. I think He's going to come back now. I think He can come right where I'm preaching. I'll take heaven over Naples, amen? Although I wouldn't wait, care if you wait a few hours, days. But I'd rather go to heaven than Naples, amen? Stay with me. I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but I know one thing. He's coming. Why do you know He's coming, preacher? Because He said it. He always keeps His promises. Look up here. If God gives you a promise in your heart and tells you something, He will do it. You say, well, it hasn't happened yet. Don't worry, it will. At a set time. How many are still with the preacher? So Isaac is a constant reminder to us never to doubt the promises of God. No matter how long you have to wait. No matter how long you have to wait. Don't give up on the promises of God. They watched over 20 years. They waited over 20 years before Isaac was born. Over 20 years. Are you with me? Remember, he was 75 years old when he called him out of Ur of Chaldees, Genesis chapter 12. Abraham was. Are you with me? How many are still with me? And so, I don't know exactly, but I know it was over 20 years that he waited for that promised seed to come, the child, Isaac. Now watch. Don't give up on the promises of God. I got a question. Some of you here might have given up on the promises of God. Some of you might have given up on God to deliver you in your life. Today, if you have, can I say this from God? I believe He told me, if you have given up on some of the things that God's promised, can I tell you something today? You ought to get a hold of that promise today and say, God, I'm gonna believe that promise again. I'm gonna renew my heart, God. God, I'm gonna renew my heart, and I'm gonna believe that You're gonna deliver, that Your promises never fail, and just like You delivered for Abraham and Sarah, You're gonna deliver for me. And He will, by the way. And by the way, can you imagine the heartache? Because He didn't wait. When Isaac got older, when he's around 13 years old, and when Isaac was born, Sarah said, I don't want the bondwoman's child here. Eddie, he actually had a... Do you think Abraham didn't love Ishmael? And God had to come, and she said, he's got to go. And I'm sure he said, oh, no. But then God said, no, Abraham. Isaac's the promised child. Ishmael was of you. Isaac's of me. He's got a goal. I'll bless him for your sake. And by the way, there was 12 great princes that came out of Ishmael. Isaac's half-brother. Are you with me? But can you imagine, Eddie? When Ishmael was 13 years old, Abraham had to cast him from the camp. In other words, how old are you, Levi? 15, okay. You're pretty close. It's like, Eddie, Jeannie, can you imagine if I said you gotta kick Levi out of your house? Can you imagine? His dad'd be happy. His mom would cry. But no. kidding. Well, I'll go to my brother's house. He don't want to either. No, I'm just... Can you imagine? No, I'm trying to get where you can relate. Can you imagine if you had to leave... If your son that you loved... I'm sorry, son, but I did wrong and you weren't supposed to be here, and now God said you got to leave because Isaac, your half brother, he really is the seed that God's going to use to bring the Messiah. Are you with me? Can you imagine that brokenness? You know, look up here. Look at the heartache, and then look at the heartache from Ishmael comes all your Arabic tribes. Not just the heartache then. What about all the heartache in the future because of getting ahead of God? Don't get ahead of God. Let me challenge each one of you. Don't get ahead of God. Amen? And so, now, number five. Isaac was in type like Christ Jesus, our Savior. Look at Genesis 22:6, because Isaac was a willing sacrifice. Oh, there's so many great things about Isaac. Look at 22:6. God told Abraham, I want you to... Here, now he waits over 20-some years, Eddie, to get this baby. Now he's a young man. I don't know. We think he's in the teens. We don't know how old he is here. We know he's big enough to carry the wood on his back. And God said, I want you to get up and take Isaac, your only begotten son, which is a type of Jesus, God's only begotten son. I want you to take out Moriah, which we believe was outside of Jerusalem, just like Calvary. Are you with me? A lot of parallels there. And notice what it says in 22:6. Abraham took the wood, how many see the wood? The burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and knife, and they went both of them together. How many see that? Up Calvary Mountain, one dreadful morn, walks Christ our Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, so that he could save us from endless loss. Amen? Here's Isaac, going to be the sacrifice. He's carrying the wood. Jesus carrying the cross, the wood. Are you with me? How many with the preacher? What a beautiful type. What a beautiful figure of him to come. Are you still with me? I'll tell you this. Even though Isaac's got a real quiet life compared to Abraham and Jacob, he's got a real special life. And he was willing to go. Abraham bound him. He didn't fight him. He willingly went to be sacrificed. Of course, God stopped Abraham. But by the way, when you read Hebrews, you'll see that Abraham actually believed, even if he killed Isaac, that God was going to raise him from the dead, which Jesus did raise from the dead. Again, showing a symbol of Christ to come, the Savior that would be sacrificed, die, and resurrect. Amen? So isn't that a beautiful picture? And then number six, in Genesis 24, verse 1 through 3, Abraham sends his servant to go search for a bride for Isaac. Oh, this is so great. 24, 1 through 3. Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, my hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son for of the daughters of Canaan. No, you can't get the heathen, you got to get the saved. You don't want one from the world. Among whom I dwell. Huh. Now notice, he makes his servant pledge to go get the right kind of bride for his son. Now stay with me. Remember, who did we say Isaac was a type of? The Lord Jesus Christ. Huh. And he sent out his servant to get a bride for the son. We're the church is a bride. Are you with me? How many are with me? And God sent out the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit grabbed your heart and brought you to Jesus. Are you with me? Isn't that great? I tell you, God wanted to make sure that Isaac Piper had the right bride. And he got Rebecca. And by the way, Rebecca's got seven letters. The name Rebecca has seven letters. Number seven is perfection. So God gave Isaac the perfect bride. Can anyone say amen? And God's still calling out a bride today to come to his son, Jesus Christ. Can anyone say amen? And it's powerful. Brian, you and I didn't come to Jesus by ourselves. No. It was by the preaching of God's word, the water of the word. Are you with me? And he drew us, Brother Coolidge. He drew us. The Holy Spirit brings us to Christ. Can anyone say amen? It's the same as for our Savior getting a bride. Isaac got his bride brought to him by the servant. And he had the bride that God, the perfect bride. Can anyone say amen? And without spot or wrinkle, amen. God the Father sends out his Holy Spirit to draw people to Christ to be his bride. Number seven, look at 24:13. Notice the servant met the bride by the water, the well of water. I love this. Look at verse 13 of 24. Behold, I stand here by the water, the well of water. How many see that? You know what? Jesus is the living water. Let me quote you John 4:14. Jesus said, whosoever drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. If you've never drank of the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not have everlasting life. You've got to come to that well. You got to come to that living water. If you've never invited Christ into you, you've never partook of the living well, the living water of Christ. You know, people are going, they're thirsting today. They're thirsty for, they're trying everything, and they're trying to get their thirst satisfied. But I'm going to tell you, they don't get it because they've never tasted of the living water. You see all these Hollywood stars and all these multimillionaires, and they buy the cars and the big ocean boats and all kinds and the trips, and yet they end up dying of drugs or overdose and alcohol, and some are the most loneliest, saddest people in the world. Why? Because money can't buy you happiness. Pays the gas bill. Which isn't bad. But it doesn't get you to heaven. And there's a void in everyone's heart. And until the living water of Christ comes in, that void's always there. You know, I'll use him. I hope he was saved. But I know one thing. He was really depressed. A lot of your actors and even the late Marilyn Monroe, all the stuff, she died a horrible death, didn't she? Elvis Presley died a horrible death. You know, he was the king. Really? I hope he really knew the king. Not knocking Elvis Presley, not knocking. I'm just trying to tell you. I just hope everyone's saved, no matter who they are. But what I'm trying to say is this. They found him, I think, in the bathtub years ago. I think it was he had too much drugs in him. I think they were, even though it might have been prescription pills, they're still drugs. And you can overdose on drugs, getting them from the drugstore. Be careful about taking this stuff. I told Mona Ray the other day, I said, I don't believe in taking a lot of pills, but once in a while, like her neck is so hurt. I said, a couple muscle relaxers wouldn't hurt her. If she took them every day of her life, it'd be bad for her. How many are still with me? I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of people that's got a lot of things in life, yet they're the saddest people in the world. They never drank. You see, he found the bride at the water. See, the bride came to the water and drank. How many are still with me? And if you want to be in that bride, you want to be the bride of Christ, you've got to come to that water and drink. Amen? Then lastly, don't get excited. I don't think it's lastly. Getting near the end. Number 8. Genesis 24:67. His wife Rebekah had 7 letters. Perfection. Chosen for him by God. And God gave Isaac and Rebekah twins. Look at 25:24 Genesis. We're taking a study of Isaac today. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. How many see that? And they were Esau and Jacob. And look at the first one. And the first came out red, over like in a hairy garment. And they called him Esau. Now Esau, Brother Kerry, Esau, my type of guy. Guy liked to go deer hunting. Guy was a hunter. He was really a great, he was an outdoorsman. To me, he was great. Jacob, he's a little mommy's boy. Little mama's boy, always staying home, don't go out and get in the woods. He's going to get dirty, you know. Eddie was talking about a kid that got a bloody nose at the youth night. I'm not happy he got a bloody nose, but that's good once in a while to get. I've had bloody nose. I've had my eyes gushed open. I've had my jaws broken. Hey, that's good for you. You know, don't worry if you get a little. It's good for a kid to grow up. Don't panic when they'll be all right. Put a hanky in there. You'll be all right, kid. Get up. You'll be all right. Little Lukey fell down the other day, and I could see he wasn't really hurt real bad. He said, I said, get up, Luke. You're all right. You're tough. You ever notice a guy? When you're a kid, you go to your mama. Mama! And mama takes care of us babies. Then when we grow up and get married, we go to our wife. You take the mama's place, wife. It's amazing. Guys are always so macho. The moment they get a little scratch or anything, they're, oh, I'm going to die. Well, you had a macho Esau, you had a mamby-pamby Jacob. I'm going to tell you right now, Jacob was a surplanner. He was always trying to hustle you. Amen? Are you with me? And he hustled his brother. His brother was out hunting, and he said, I'm so hungry, I'm going to think I'm going to die. He said, make me some soup. He said, well, give me your birthright then. And so for a bowl of chili. I don't blame Jacob wanting to kill Esau wanting to kill Jacob. I think I could have killed him myself. Sad part, I don't even think Jacob's good. Jacob will be in heaven. I don't think Esau's even going to be in heaven. Uh-oh. Stay with me. He might be. I don't know. I hope he is. He might not, though. Anyways, I know one thing. He wasn't of the promised seed. Amen? Stay with me. Got you thinking now, don't I? You say, how can it be? If they don't get saved, they don't get saved. I don't care who they are. Cain and Abel had the same mom and dad, Adam and Eve. One, Cain went to hell. Abel went to heaven. Just because they're born of Christian parents don't mean they go to heaven. I want you to see something. The reason I noticed this, Brother Kerry, before I got off into Wonderland here, I wanted you to notice that Isaac had some similarities of his dad. Number one, they both waited over 20 years for their son to carry on the seed. When Isaac was married, he was 40 years old. Scripture teaches that when he married Rebecca. Let's see here. Do I have that noted for you? 25:20. What's 25:20 say? Isaac, yeah, was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. How many see that? The scripture teaches later that he was, when the son was born, notice in verse 24, 26 of Isaiah 25, Genesis 25, Genesis 25, verse 26, Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them the twins. So he was 60. He was married at 40. The babies came at 60. So he waited 20 years. Now look up here. The reason I'm working on this is this. God passed on that promise. Just like he told Abraham, I'm going to pass it. They said, Isaac, I'm going to pass it on. Jacob, he told Jacob, I'm going to pass it on. They all had the promises that they would be the seed would come through their line. Are you with me? How many are still with me? So, number one, Isaac was similar to his Abraham because they both waited over 20 years, at least 20 years, to have their promised seed. Number two, there were two sons involved. Abraham had Ishmael and Isaac. Are you with me? How many are following me? I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to give you something here. I know I'm not doing a lot of fancy stuff making up, but I'd like you to learn some things once in a while. It's good for you to learn. Amen? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. Rightly divine word. I'm trying to give you truth here this morning. I'm working with you to try to teach you. I want you to have knowledge and truth of God's word. And when you got that truth, when you read the Bible, it seems more exciting to you because, oh yeah, I can relate that to what preacher taught us there. Amen? Well, they both waited how long for a son to come? 20 years. Abraham probably waited a little bit longer than that, but they both waited. What I wanted to say is they both waited a long time for the promise of God to be fulfilled. Let me see that. Number two in their life, in this, there were two sons involved. Abraham had Ishmael and Isaac. Isaac had Jacob and Esau. One God chose, the other one he didn't. The reason I say over in Romans, it says, Jacob God loved, Esau he hated. Study the scriptures. I'm not sure Esau's in heaven. Hello. How many are still with me? What I want to say is this. God had his hand on Jacob. Just like he had his hand on Isaac. You see that? Both fathers, Eddie, had to give up on their choice. See, Abraham was going to, he thought Ishmael was what God was going to use. Isaac thought Esau was what God was going to use. They both found out that the younger would be above the elder. Are you with me? And so they were very similar in those things. And number three, he's so much like his dad. Well, the reason I'm doing this, Jack, we got to watch out how we teach our kids, because they, believe it or not, they learn from us. Kevin, our kids watch our lives. Notice, Abraham, the father of Isaac, I'm talking about how they're similar now, they both went down into Egypt. And God told them both not to go down in Egypt, but they both went down. They both was found out. Notice, Abraham lied about Sarah, his wife, being his sister. Look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 13. Genesis 12, hold your hand there because we're going to come right back. Genesis 12, 13. I pray thee, thou art my sister. Say you're my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live. Abraham thought, man, you're so pretty, Sarah. They're going to kill me if they find out you're my wife, because they'll kill me so they can have you. So he said, lie and say you're my sister. Although she did, she was actually part sister, okay? Are you with me? They had the same father, but not the same mother. Isaac really lied, all the way. Then look at Isaac in Genesis 26:7. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, "She's my sister." And the reason I'm saying this is this. Parents, Mike, our kids learn from us. They learn good habits, and they learn bad habits. Eddie, yeah, you've got two young children. I'm going to tell you, you might not think that Skylar's watching you. Skylar is watching you. And you might not think Titus isn't taking in, but he's taking all he can right now. And the bigger he gets, the more he's taking in. Just think how much you learned from your mom and dad. Amen? Think about it. And so what I'm going to say is that little precious baby of yours, she watches everything you and Brother Carrie do. Miss Trish, she watches everything. I'm going to tell you, whether you believe it or not, you're teaching her some things that she's going to use when she gets older. See, Eddie, Isaac, even though he wasn't born when his dad did those things, he heard about the stories. Oh, I remember when your dad went down there. And so he said, "Oh yeah, I remember telling, they told me a story about when my dad went down to Egypt and my mom's so pretty." By the way, Rebecca was beautiful too. Sarah, there's another similar, both their brides were beautiful. Both brides were overwhelmingly beautiful. Are you with me? He said, I remember a story of my dad Abraham went down in Egypt. He was afraid they were going to kill him for my mama Sarah. So he told her she was, I'll do the same thing. Watch out, Bobby. Oscar's watching everything you and Jamie's doing. And I know Jimbo is. Jimbo don't miss nothing, man. Jimbo is on top of everything. And when they grow up, oh, they're going to use some of those great things that you did put in their life. But some of those other things that they saw us do that maybe you don't want them to do, they're going to remember them too. So I guess I want to challenge you as parents always to be careful on what we teach our children. Because it will come back. Amen? I hope I'm not boring you. And then, listen, God never wanted his people. They went down into Egypt. And God never wanted his people to go down into Egypt, which is the type of the world. They both, and by the way, every time it says they went down. Whenever you go into Egypt, which is the world, you're going down. Look up here. When you start to go back into the world, you mark her down. You're going down. You're going away from God. God's up. He's in the north. When you start to backslide on God, when you start to turn your cheek against God, you're heading the wrong direction. And every time, it's somehow the scripture is so careful to say, they went down. You say, well, that's on the geographical map. They did. It doesn't matter. Sometimes, even when it talks about Jerusalem, it's always down to Jerusalem or up to Jerusalem. The map is always saying, hey, when you go up to Jerusalem. You go to Egypt, you're going down. In other words, when you go to Jerusalem, you're going towards God. When you go to Egypt, you're going away from God. How many are with me? And so, there's a great truth I want to just. Abraham and Isaac should have known. Listen, God, Abraham and Isaac should have trusted God to provide for them. There was a famine. You know, look up here. There's going to be famines in our life. There are going to be times of famine. It might be different. There might be sickness or financial or just a lot of heartaches and sorrow. But there's times we're going to go through some famines. Famines in our life. Famines of heartache. Famines of sickness. Famines maybe financially or stress. There's going to be times of famine in your life. I promise you, famine's going to come to you. Don't go to Egypt when famine comes in. Trust God. God said, man, don't go down. I'll take care of you. If I had to send a raven to bring you bread, I'll feed you and give you the water from the brook Cherith. I'll take care of you. Like I did Elijah. But no, they went down to Egypt. And by the way, Isaac should have remembered that in Genesis 22 when God gave that ram. Remember verse 22 and 24? It says he called the place Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh means God sees. and God provides. Brother Terry, there's going to be times in your life where you say, oh, God, hold on. You hold on. God sees what you're going through. God knows what you're facing. He'll get you through it. Don't go to the world. Stick with God. Because, Jimmy, He'll make it through you. He's our Jehovah Jireh. Then lastly, number eight. Is it number eight? Number nine. Isaac learned some good things from his father Abraham. Isaac went back, and I'm all done. Look at 26:15. This is a real truth here. Boy, I can't imagine how much time goes by when you just try to teach things. Isaac went back and he to the old wells that his father dug. Look at 26:15. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And what he did, he went, not only did he unearth those and open them up, but he dug other wells. Can I tell you something? Isaac dug new wells. If you keep reading, look at verse 12, 17. And Isaac, are you with me? I'm closing. Isaac, Genesis 26, verse 17. Isaac departed and pitched his tent in the valley of Gergar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water. How many see that? Which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines stopped them. You know what? The Philistines were enemies. The Philistines represents the world. Look up here. The world's going to try to stop you from loving God, for serving God. The world's going to try to stop up your wells and throw dirt on your wells and try to keep you from enjoying the things of God. They don't want you to be refreshed for God. They want you back in the world with them. Are you with me? Notice, and verse 19, and the servants digged up the valley and found there a well of springing water. Oh, praise God for that springing water. Amen? Let me just, and it keeps on going on, verse 22, and he moved from thence and digged another well. And it just keeps showing how, and then verse 25, Isaac's servants digged a well, and they just kept digging wells. And by the way, that's what Isaac is known for. He was the biggest thing that stands out in Isaac's life, he dug the wells. Thank God for the well diggers. We're not talking about water. We're not talking about oil here. We're talking about water. We're talking more than physical water. I know that's physical water there, but we're talking about spiritual water. Let me close this up with this. Many times, why it's so important to dig wells, preacher? Many times our spiritual life for God becomes dry and parched. Things become stale and stagnant. And we dry up our heart. We no longer can cry for the things of God. We no longer care. We get cold hearted and we get dry inside. Are you with me? Our spiritual wells go dry. No longer have the zeal for God. No longer have the thirst for the things of God. We don't have the thirst for God or the things of God. We need to always be digging up living water for our life to be excited. If we don't stay in the wells of God, you'll think about dropping out of church. If you don't stay in the living water of God, you're not going to worry about souls going to hell. If you don't stay in the living water and keep digging those wells, you won't care about missionaries going out carrying out the gospel over the world. You won't care about vacation Bible school. You won't care about our Christian school. You won't care about nothing about. You say, "Oh, I'm not even interested with the church. I got more better things to do." Are you with me? And Eddie, what happens? And I'm all done. Many Christians go through life, and boy, we're excited, we're vibrant, and things are going great. We love God. Oh, I love Jesus. And we're going soul winning. We're tithing. We're Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Man, we're excited. And all of a sudden, our well starts to get dry. And we don't dig another well. We don't keep digging for the water. And all of a sudden, there's no more. We keep trying to pull out the same well, and the well goes dry. We need to dig new water, new wells. Because the old ones are, by the way, the world, do you ever notice the world puts dirt and dust, dirt and filth, and puts filth on us? The dirt, the scum of the earth, and they filled those wells up with dirt. That's what the world does to us. It cuts the water supply off of our wells. Many times, we as Christians, we're in church, but our well's dry. Many times, we're going through, but we haven't drank, we haven't, for weeks and for months and days go by, and we never drink of the pure living water of God. We don't refresh ourselves. We don't enjoy the freshness of God. And we go through like a desert in our life. We're parched and we're dry, and we need to get back in and dig another well! Dig another well! Dig another well! And drink! Drink! That's when this church will be exciting to you again. That's when the things are going to be exciting. When you start drinking the water and you'll be refreshed! Refreshed! Oh, it's not as bad as I thought! It was me, not them! We need to learn what Isaac learned. Brother Carl, even preachers, myself, many times our well goes dry. And we need to stop and dig another well and get the refreshing water of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful life of Isaac. We're going to see him in heaven. No, he wasn't extraordinary. He didn't have a lot of excitement in his life like Abraham and his son Jacob. He's kind of a quiet fellow. Boy, he sure had some great things that he knew in his life. He sure was a great symbol and type of our Savior. And he knew what was important. He knew it was important to keep the wells open. He knew it was important not to let the well of God go dry. He's known for the well digger. And oh God, help us to be a well digger for you. Help us to be like Isaac in the sense that when our well gets dry, we open it back up. Oh God, in this world we're living in, it's so hard. So many pressures, so many heartaches, so many struggles, so many things that come before us. The world's always tugging to try to fill our well with dirt. Oh God, help us to care so much for the things of God that we'd keep digging and keeping our wells open, that we'd always have the refreshment, the wonderful living water of God in our life. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? Thank you. You may be put it down. Is there any here today say, Preacher, I'll be honest with you. I'm not saved, and I want to be the bride. I want to be in that bride of Christ. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to go to hell. Never ask Christ to save me. I'd like to do it today. Would you pray for me? Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that today? Just raise your hand, put it back down. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I'd sure like to know. Pray for me. Anyone like that at all? All right, before I pray, one last thing. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Preacher, I know I'm saved. But I'm not excited like I used to be. Really, it's a challenge anymore just to come to church. and I need to dig some wells for God. I need to get that living water once again where I'm excited for the things of God. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Pray for me. Yes. 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 God bless you. Yes, sir. God bless you, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. God bless you. Heavenly Father, I did the best I could. Help us. Help us as your children not to let that spiritual well go dry. Oh, God. Help us to, when it gets dry, help us to, Lord, to dig some more. To open up that water of living water to refresh our soul and spirit. And to keep us vibrant for God. And excited for the things of God. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand.